I started a series. This is the fourth part of this series that we call To Recall or Being Recalled. To recall, which means to bring back to mind or to remember or be recalled as an item that has been in use for a while is recalled because of some defect. We realize that we all are defective to some degree. That's why we have to come to church, because God is yet perfecting us. We are yet growing in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord. But this morning, I'm going to use a subtitle. It will be Seeing Beyond Seeing. How do we see beyond what we would otherwise see? We talk about to recall. We mentioned that is to recollect, a recollection. Now, I thought about this word, recollection. It is to gather thoughts. Because we don't always forget a particular thing, because to forget it means that it is erased from our memories. But it oftentimes is not recalled. So what happens, there are things that are buried in our minds that have to be brought to the forefront of our minds. And the reason that is important, because if a thing means something to us, we talk about significant things. If we can recall them, it really indicates how we treasure those things, the value that we place upon them. Those things that have reached our hearts, the things that have entered our hearts, we don't forget them so easily. Those things that have entered our hearts, the things that have penetrated our hearts, we remember them because we have more than just surface knowledge of them. Why? Because our interests keeps us at a place where we want to look deeper into the subject and we want to explore more so than any other subject. And in this, we talk about surface knowledge. We said that when God reveals his word to us and we have an interest in what God is saying and what God is saying, we realize that we receive that knowledge by revelation. God reveals that to us. And what God is really saying, and this is what I want you to really notice, he is really saying to us, do you love me enough to enter into my world? Do you love me enough to enter into my world? Because you had your own line of thinking, you had your own line of reasoning, and then the Lord, I would say, you have this this encounter with God. And then the Lord is saying, you didn't just receive that encounter, but this was really an invitation where God is saying, do you love me enough to enter into my world? Because once you get here, I'm going to show you some stuff you never thought of, some things that you never seen before, or things that had never really entered into your mind. But understand, this is my world now. This is my reference. These are my references. This is how I see things, but now I'm bringing you to a place where you can begin to see things as I see them. There is a spiritual alignment that occurs within our lives as a result of our loving the Lord and having willingness to enter into his world. But understand, there's a price to be paid. When you enter into his world, we must forsake our worlds. Forsake the world that you have grown accustomed to know, the things that you have known, the things that you have grown accustomed to. The Lord is saying, are you willing to let all that go in order to come into my world and to learn from me? And understand, we talk about new birth. Any man be in Christ, new creation, old things pass away, behold, all things become new. God has to teach us baby talk and baby steps, to take baby steps, things that we thought we had mastered because we see ourselves as being full grown. But then to be born again, you become a child again. And you have to be taught just to take baby steps, to begin to just move in the things of the Spirit and not even rely upon your old references, because he'll bring you all together new references. Now, I want you to look at what Jesus said concerning this in Matthew chapter 13, verse 11. This is what Jesus said, and he was talking to his disciples. He said, and I'm just kind of getting right to the point. He said, he answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. It has been given to you. He is saying that the knowledge that you are yet to attain has been given to you that you would know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. He said, but it has not been given to them. You got to watch this word given. It is a gift from God. God has given you. He has given you something that they had not received or wasn't even capable of receiving. He has given to you the mysteries of the kingdom, to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but it's not been given to them. And then he goes on to say, now that in of itself is something, that God has given you something that the world does not have. He has given you access to knowledge that the world doesn't have access to. That's what we have to look at now. He has given you access to knowledge that the world doesn't have access to. Now, understand, but now, do you love me? Do you love me enough to explore into those areas that I have made available to you in my world? Now, watch what he says here. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have an abundance. He will have abundance. To him that has, in other words, the entrance of thy word brings light. What God does, he says, the insight that you receive provides opportunity for greater insight. So if you get what God is saying today, it will open your heart for more of what God has to say. God builds upon the insight and revelation that he gives us. He does not bring us to a place where we're stagnant, that we think or we become masters or authorities in understanding. But we grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. So whatever you understand, that understanding has been given to you that you may attain greater understanding. Is that making sense to you? God helps you to see this so that you can see through this more than you see. Now, you got to hear me now. So this is what he says. You should have abundance. But he says, but whoever does not have, he that does not have. Now, when he says, now he's not talking about those that are acknowledging the fact they don't have, but he's talking about those that think they have. He says, even what he has will be taken from him. Now, that's why he helps you to understand. He said, even what he has. First of all, he says, he that does not have, even what he has. That sounds like an oxymoron. If I don't have, then how can what I have be taken from me? Because I really didn't have it. I thought I had it. I thought I had something. I thought I possessed something that I had not possessed. I thought I was in a place that I had not occupied as of yet. That's what he's really saying to us. He is saying that you thought you were a particular way, but you had not received what I had offered, but you were relying upon what you already thought you had. The knowledge that you had already attained from the world or your intellect that you were relying upon. He says, even that will be taken away from you because I will expose the fallacies. I will expose the frailties that are contained within the knowledge of this world. You will begin to see how weak it is, how fragile it is. It cannot withstand under the pressure of time and eternity, because the time will come when everything that you relied upon based upon your intellect, your knowledge, has an expiration date on it. It will one day eventually expire. So now, what he thinks, we take it away. He says, now in light of that, therefore I speak to you in parables. In light of what I just said to you, understanding that there's something that I have given you, he said, but I speak to them in parables. A parable is a truth that aligns itself or runs alongside of another truth. In other words, there is a deeper meaning to that truth that person is understanding. And that's what you have. You have the ability to understand the hidden truth, the hidden meanings of those things that appear to be so simplistic within the world. He says, so now I speak to them in parables, because here's what he said. Now, we're getting into the message now. Seeing with their eyes, but they do not see beyond what they see. Seeing with their eyes, but they do not see the spiritual application or implication in that which they see. Hearing with their ears, but they do not hear the Spirit speaking, that which the Holy Spirit is saying. He says, so now if they're seeing with their eyes only and hearing with their ears only, their comprehension is limited to logic. So they arrive at a logical conclusion and for the most part will dismiss the hidden mysteries of God as being foolishness. They say, look, I came to church to have my needs met. I came to church to hear something that's going to benefit me. I came to church so I could grow and understand how I can get something out of life. And you're going to talk about all this mysterious stuff, this stuff that doesn't make sense to me. You see, he said, they do not understand. They do not understand. All thy getting, get understanding. But the understanding that we're to get is spiritual understanding. He says, and then the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and not understand. Seeing you will see and not perceive. Your perception is faulty. He said, why now? Why is it so difficult for us to tap into this? He says, for the heart of this people, and this is very key too, have grown dull. Have grown dull. It talks about over a period of time. It did say it was dull to begin with. But understand, as it was when he gave the parable, in the same parable he talked about the seed that was planted on hard ground. And he talked about that it did not gain any root because it's planted on hard ground. How did that, you heard me teach this before, how did it become hard? Because of traffic. We lived on some roads in my hometown where if it rained, we had those little mud holes all over the place. There's chuck holes all over the place. And we had to wear carry a pair of shoes, if you know what I mean. We carried, y'all don't know that, shaking her head, I don't know what you're talking about. But we had to wear a pair of shoes and carry, some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Anybody understand that? You never lived on dirt roads and stuff. But you had to carry a pair of shoes and you had to wear a pair of shoes. You would carry your good shoes, but you wear your old shoes because what happened, they get muddy and you had to go through all kind of stuff. So what happened when you get to school, you change your muddy shoes out and put some good shoes on. But what happened when, after it dried, the traffic would actually cause the road to become hardened. And it was almost like pavement. Why? Because of all the traffic that would go across the road. And the same thing with the hearts of those whose hearts have become hardened. It is a traffic of life. The things that you've been hearing, the things that you've been exposed to, the information that you receive from the gossip lines and the other places, it brings you to a place where it makes it hard for the Word of God to get through to those who have engaged in the traffic of life and allowed all that information that they think they understand to enter in. He says, so now their hearts have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes, you see, is hard of hearing. They strain at hearing. In other words, when you're talking to them, it's like talking to a brick wall because nothing is really getting through to them. Have you ever talked to somebody and you can look in their eyes, they have a clue what you're talking about. They got that blank look on that blank stare on their face, and then they kind of bow their head. I say, you don't have a clue what I'm saying. and we've seen it even in church where people will say, amen, 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 amen. And they're saying it before you get the message, before you get the sentence out. I said, no, you didn't hear what I was saying. But when a person really understands, then there's you can see it in their eyes that they are comprehending, that they're connecting with what is being said. And that's what we're talking about, getting that connection. When you talk to a person, it is the transmission of truth, that it's the receiving of truth, and then you can see it in the person's eyes that they are paying attention and that they're getting it. He says, so now what happened, they closed their eyes. You see, their ears are hard of hearing, but they close their eyes. That's intentional. They get to the place, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. I don't care to receive. In fact, let me go somewhere where I can hear something different than this because I reject the truth. They close their eyes lest they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and that brings about repentance and conversion. They will turn so that they should be healed. Once it enters in, then it exposes the defects within one's life so that person turns away from the direction that they once were facing. And now through that repentance turn a 180, and now they are understanding with their hearts. And then God brings about conversion that they may be healed. But then he says to them, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and blessed are your ears, for they hear. He said, for surely I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desire to see what you see and do not see it, and hear what you hear and did not hear it. Now, this is what the Lord was saying. This is what the Lord was saying in relation to seeing and hearing. He is saying, I want you to see what I am saying. I want you to see the message. I don't want you to hear the message. I want you to see what I am saying. I want you to have a pictorial of what I'm saying. We want this word, these words, these word pictures, to formulate within your minds so that you begin to see it. And then you give expression to what you see. Now, you see the difference? You see the difference when you give expression to what you see? It is like, you're postured then to interpret what you see. And that's what happens when it becomes real to you. You can interpret it rightly. Because otherwise, you can just learn a thing by rote. You said, here's what it says. Let me help you understand this. It is like saying, I want you to learn your ABCs. A, B, C, D, E, F, G. I learned them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You learn it. I want you to learn your prayer. Now lay me down to sleep. I want you to learn 23rd Psalm. Lord is my shepherd, I shall. See, you got that because you've learned how to say it by rote. You can say it without having to reference it on any page or any paper. But when you see it, you're not just saying, the Lord is my shepherd. Let me tell you why the Lord is my shepherd. You see the difference? Let me tell you why the Lord is my shepherd. Let me take these letters and these letters and let me form words out of these letters. Let me develop a vocabulary using what I've learned. So spiritual language brings us to a place where we have a vocabulary. We can express the heart of God in language that we have, in fact, attained based upon what we see. And then that's what happened. What do you see? Well, I see this. I see that. I see this in the Word. I see, as I look into the Word, this is what I see. This is what he does. He gives us eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts to understand. Now, I'm going to give you an example of this. I'm going to give you an example of this in Scripture, because you go to Matthew chapter 16 and verse 5. This is Jesus Christ, a miracle that took place. But the Lord wanted them to see into this miracle what he wanted them to see. He said, now when his disciples had come, verse 5, when the disciples had come to the other side, you remember Jesus said, let's go over to the other side. And things happened, didn't it, between the speaking of God's word and the arriving to the other side. But Jesus said, let us go. He said, when they came to the other side, something happened. They forgot to bring some bread. They had forgot to take bread. They forgot to take some bread. Then Jesus said to them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Now, that didn't make any sense. Now, we know that he had done miracles in the past, but what does not having bread have to do with the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Now, I'm helping you to see some things now. I'm trying to help you to develop spiritual insight. How the Spirit of God will work in you and through you when you stop seeing things merely on the surface and begin to look into these matters as God would have you to look into them. He says now, he looked like he went off on some rabbit trail, as it was when they said, even the demons are subject to your name. Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning, like a light. He said, wait a minute now, what does that do So Jesus would talk. You see now that's why he sat. That's why he looked like he was foolish. That's why he looked like he had lost his mind. That's why sometimes those who are really sold out to God appear to others as if they are lunatics, because he began to say something that looked like it was off the wall, talking about the leaven of the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And so then they began to reason among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. We've taken no bread. He said, so we understand that there is leaven in bread, but Jesus is talking about, he don't just look at the bread, he's looking at the leaven that's in the bread. But he said, but Jesus was aware of it and said to them, oh, ye of little faith, why do you reason among yourselves because you have brought no bread? Do you not yet understand or remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? So he began to remind them of a former miracle. Are you still with me now? Are y'all still with me? He started reminding them of a previous miracle which had significance, but the significance was much more than just feeding people. He said, now, do you remember that? Do you remember? He said, first of all, oh, ye of little faith, why do you reason among yourselves? Why do you compare thoughts and ideas with one another, trying to figure out where I'm coming from? When I made a statement, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Do you not understand or remember the 5 loaves and the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? Nor the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many large baskets you took up? How is it that you do not understand that I did not speak to you concerning bread? I ain't even talking about bread. He said, understand what happened. You said somebody forgot to bring some bread. And he said, I'm going to teach you something here. We're going to have an object lesson here. I'm not even talking about bread. When I talk about the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees, but that situation that occurred raised up and something that would become a teaching moment. He said, I'm going to use this as an object lesson to you so that I can instruct you concerning something concerning the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. But they understood. So he said, they understood that he did not tell them to beware. He said, but now when they spoke of bread, how is it that you not understand that I did not speak to you concerning bread, but to beware the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees? Then they understood that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He said, this man talking about doctrine. We talking about our need is for bread, and he's talking about doctrine. He said, now what does bread and doctrine have to do with one another? Because you're talking to the bread of life. You're talking to the bread of life. You're talking about the one who came to feed us with the manna that came from heaven. So therefore, when he speaks of bread, he's not talking about physical food. He's talking about much more than that. He said, so now they understood that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of bread, but the doctrine of the Pharisees and Sadducees. He began to take the situation and bridge it into a spiritual situation. He said, I'm going to show you something that you didn't see, that you didn't understand, that you will consider not to even be, you don't see the parallel. He said, but you forgot to bring bread, but beware of the leaven. What he does now, I'm going to show you what the Lord, it's a whole lot we can go into that. That's a message in and of itself. Because when you begin to go deeper into understanding this, what Jesus Christ was talking about, the leaven, mixture. We begin to see what mixture is. You talk about mixture that had taken place with the Pharisees and the Sadducees, how they were engaged in mixture. It was not a pure doctrine. It was not a pure word. that they had was given, that had were given the people. He said, so now what is happening in our day and time, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees, because this is a day of mixture. This is a day. Like I said, we can go into this, but I got some points I want to make in these next few minutes that I have to kind of rush past this, but I wish somewhere down the line we can really explore that. But what he is doing, we begin to see where the Lord began to do something another time, and he wanted to show them more than they were capable of seeing, but he wanted to give them a glimpse into his character. Now, y'all know where I'm headed, don't you? He wanted to give them a glimpse into his character. He said, now, what happens, this is what you see. You see the man from Galilee. You see the one that was raised in Nazareth. You see this man who had performed miracles, but I want you to see more than that. You see, some of you following for the fish and the loaves, but I want you to see. I want to give you a glimpse into my character. I want to give you a glimpse into my being. This is what he was saying. I want you to see the inward beauty that resides within me. That's what Jesus Christ was saying. I want you to see the inward beauty that resides within me. And we begin to see that on the Mount of Transfiguration. Now you with me on the Mount of Transfiguration. And that's in the 17th chapter of Matthew. And I just want to, as quickly as I can, let's look at this. It says in the first verse, now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them on a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun. His clothes became as white as the light. What was in him shone forth out of him. You see, all of this that you saw, it was contained in the glory of God, was contained in the person of Jesus Christ. But you can't see the glory. You saw the flesh. So that's why it says, know no man after the flesh, even though we have known even Jesus Christ after the flesh, we know him no longer. Because if any human being, any person is in Christ, he becomes a new creation. So you're saying, don't look at people based upon the outward appearance. Don't look at people based upon what you observe of them, but he is saying, I want you to look. I'm going to give you eyes to see on the inside. I was going to title this message, X-ray vision, but he wants us to be able to see into the hearts of individuals so that our judgments are not faulty. We're not making rash judgments concerning them. He says, so now, are giving them too much credit. You see that? Because you could begin to look at and be impressed with those who are impressionable and still miss it. He says, so now, this is what he says here. As we begin to look here at this, he said, his face shone like the sun's clothes became as white as light. His inward glory was given appearance. And he says, and behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. Now, why was it Moses and Elijah? This was the law and the prophet. We see the prophet Elijah. We saw the lawgiver Moses standing with him. He says, as witnesses, we understand that the law and the prophets give witness to the person of Jesus Christ. He came to fulfill all the law and the prophets. Then, here's what happened. He said, I'm going to show you this because you're going to see the glory to a degree that's going to come forth out of me. The light, even his clothing began to shine forth. It's a whole lot in this too to understand how the glory would even encompass the clothing, because you look at animals. An animal doesn't put on clothes. I know some of y'all dress your dogs and cats up in clothes, but animals don't usually have on clothing, do they? But because what happened there, their cloak or their clothing is a part of who they are. It's a part of their being. Do you see that? Do you realize that that's what God will ultimately do with us, is that ours will be of such that we'll be clothed with righteousness, clothed with the glory of God, so that that which is in us will radiate, even encompassing the outfits or the clothing that we wear. It will all be a part of who we are. White linen, the righteousness of the saints. There's a whole lot to be said about that. I won't get into it tonight, this morning, but there's a lot to be said about that. But listen to what he's saying here. So then he began to say that you're going to see it shone forth. Moses and Elijah was with him, appeared, talking to him as witnesses of the law and the prophet. Then, look at Peter looked at that. And he saw Jesus like he had never seen him before. But not only that, he got a glimpse into the future. He saw the law giver and the prophet with Jesus. So then, what did he say? Look at, with all this going on, this is his immediate response. Lord, it is good for us to be here. It is good for us to be here. Well, we're in a good place, aren't we? He said, here we have the giver of the law who was buried in the mountain. No one could find where he was buried. And we see the prophet who, Elijah, who was caught up in the whirlwind. But now we see both of them standing with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What a wonderful, wonderful picture here, depiction here. We see it all together. So Peter looking at it, you would do the same thing. Boy, it's good to be here. I wouldn't want to be any place other than right here. This is a good place to be. He said, and since we're here, I don't want to ever forget this moment. You see, recall, I don't ever want to forget this moment. I want this moment to be established within my life, and I want to erect something as a reminder of this particular moment, so that every, at least once a year, I want to go back and revisit this moment. I want to go back and revisit it. I want to go back and remember when we saw Moses and Elijah and Jesus stand together. Even though they're not standing here, we're going to erect something symbolic that will remind us of this particular moment. You know how we build monuments to remind us of certain things. We said certain moments, and you understand memorials when something has passed. He said, but this is what they want to do. Immediate response. Let's build, if you wish, Lord. I'm glad he put that in there. He didn't just say, we're going to build three tabernacles. He said, Lord, if you wish. So he was still submitted to the Lord. If you wish, we'd like to build three tabernacles. I want to build one for you. I want to build one for Moses. And I want to build one for Elijah. He said, what we just experienced, what do we do with all of this knowledge? What do I do with this? What do I do in the moment based on what I just received? You see, what is to be done with this revelation of Christ that I'd never seen before? What am I to do with this revelation? How am I to handle what God has just revealed to me? That's really the question. I don't know what to do with this. So all I can think to do is build three tabernacles. But I'm going to ask you, Lord, what do you think I should do? If you wish, what do you think I should do with this revelation? So here's what happened while he was still speaking. He got interrupted. I want you to see this. He said, let us build three tabernacles, one for Moses, one for Elijah, one for... God spoke. He said, let me interrupt you. Let me interrupt you. Because you're seeing things wrongly. I want to interrupt you. He says, while he was yet speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. A bright cloud overshadowed them. And suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, he said, don't you build three tabernacles. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. He said, you know what I want you to do? I want you, since you've received this revelation, you've received this insight, now listen to him. Pay attention to what he has to say. You see, so the insight and revelation was not for them to build tabernacles to the three, but not even to build a tabernacle to Christ. But it was given to them so that they would have an attentive ear. They would begin to hear him differently. They would begin to hear him differently, because if you strain to listen to his message, after this particular encounter, you should no longer be straining to hear him any longer. So when he spoke, he said, this is my beloved son, to whom I'm well pleased, hear him. And when the disciples heard it, what happened? This is a voice from God, the voice from heaven. They fell on their faces and were greatly afraid. And when they fell on their faces, and Jesus had touched them and said, arise and do not be afraid. But when they lifted up their eyes, See, Jesus, now they're paralyzed. He's paralyzed by what he had expressed within the moment. Are you hearing something here? He was paralyzed. They were paralyzed based on what Peter expressed in the moment. And that's what happens many times. People can't get beyond. They fall down. They're no longer in a place of participating because of misinterpreting what had been shown to them. So now, what Jesus had to do, Jesus had to touch him. Jesus had to touch him and said, now, first of all, he said, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. And then what happened when they lifted up their eyes, all they saw was Jesus only. But then as they came down from the mountain, Jesus commanded them. He said, now don't tell people all about this. Tell this vision to no one until the Son of Man is risen from the dead. Keep this to yourself. Because if you start telling everybody, they're going to start speculating and start building up on the story. And they're going to stretch it. They call it evangelistically speaking. They're going to stretch this story beyond the place that it ought to be. And making up stuff. You have doubters and all this. So now, the question is, look what he said. That moment where the Lord revealed his glory to the three. There are moments in our lives that I would say hallmark moments, moments that mark something in our history. You've had those. We all had them. The question that we ask ourselves, where were you when a particular thing happened? Isn't it somehow you can remember details? Some of you remember what you were wearing. Mostly women, particularly, because men, we forget. But some of the women, I was wearing such and such and such. This song was playing, and this is what it looked like. All the details, you see what I mean, of the particular moment, and you, it has been indelibly impressed upon your mind, your memory, about a particular moment. Where were you when? Where were you when? Now you can go back into your own life. Where were you when this particular thing happened? What were you thinking about at that particular moment? And where were you when, some of you weren't born, where were you when John F. Kennedy was assassinated? Where were you when he was assassinated? Some of you remember that, don't you? When John F. Kennedy, I see some of y'all weren't even around, but those of you, wave at me, those that were around when JFK was assassinated. Those that weren't, raise your hand, shake your hand at us. See, y'all weren't even born. So where were you when Martin Luther King was assassinated? How many of you were around when Dr. King died? Remember where you were, what you were doing, all that. Where were you at 9/11? Now we got you, huh? Where were you at 9/11? Now we got some young folk involved. Where were you at 9/11? Some of you came in after 9/11, but you're growing some experiences that's going to come your way too that will always trigger your mind. But the point is, you see, things that happen in history have a way of marking us, and we don't forget them. So you can imagine what this thing must have done to these disciples when they saw Christ in his glory. Now, he is the Word of God. He is the Word of God. Hear him. Pay attention to what he has to say. Now, here's our responsibility. We talk about what does this mean? Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. You got to take all these together now. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees because they are engaged in mixture. Now, here we are, 21st century, in the midst of pandemic, in the midst of all the activities that's taking place around us. What do we do with what we are hearing and what we have heard? The Bible in Psalm 119 and verse 11 says, your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. He says, so what do we do with the word? We take the word and we hide it. First of all, it is hidden truth. It is the mysteries of God, but we take the word and we hide it in our hearts lest we sin against God. We sin against you. Because he wouldn't say, lest we sin against you, lest the propensity to sin against God increases when his word is not treasured or given the consideration that it deserves. If you don't give the word the consideration that it deserves, or if you do not treasure the word of God, then the propensity to sin against God is much greater. You're going to violate the word if you don't hide the word in your heart. Are you still with me? You got to hide it there, because the devil is coming for the word, for the word. You see, that's what he did. He said, the deceitfulness of riches and the lust for other things came to snatch the word out of your heart. Everything in this world is out to take the word out of you. That's what these things are measured to do, are coming against you to do. It's there to rob you of the word. So he says, what I'm going to do, I'm going to hide that word in my heart so that I do not sin against the Lord. You see, the word of God, when there are subjects of little interest or no interest at all, those subjects can be very easily and readily dismissed. It's almost as if nothing had really been said. It's as if you say, did I say anything to you in the past? See, what degree of interest did you take in what I said? Did it mean anything to you? Was it worthy of your attention? Was it worthy? Did I understand you can't read, but you see, you trust the Holy Spirit and you commit those things that are significant to his safekeeping, so that when the time comes for that to be applied, the Holy Spirit will bring to your remembrance the things that have been said. You see, because in the natural, we have a tendency to forget. But how can we not forget if we commit those things? In other words, it's something that's very significant in our life. Lord, I commit that. I submit that to you. Because when the time comes, you understand, there's going to be temptations out there that's going to cause me to have a tendency to forget. He said, so I submit those things to you so that for safekeeping. Now, when we look at this, we talk about the things that are said. It is somehow people can, statistics on sports, they know, they can tell you all about the teams, they can tell you about all the players, they can tell you when somebody scored way back when, athletes, all the names, celebrity, gossip, you got a lot of stuff on TV, and then they'll argue you down, because they know that stuff. Entertainment or pleasure has a way of leaving its impression upon the psyche of individuals. But understand, God warns us of the danger of allowing the things that are most essential from slipping away. Don't allow those things that are most essential slip away. Look at what he says here. Hebrews 2:1, he says, therefore, we must give the more earnest heed, give the greater attention to the things we've heard, lest we drift away. We drift away. Because that which is spoken fades away into our memory. It fades from our memory, become a passing fancy. But we give the most earnest heed to those things. Let's pay special attention. Jesus would say, verily, verily, I say unto you, truly, truly, I say unto you. He is saying, I want you to pay special attention to this thing, because this is really, really significant. This is a matter of life and death. See, now, I'll have to cover the rest of this later, because I got some things I want you to understand that what God does, first of all, we can be sidetracked and ultimately derailed by those things that ought to have been given secondary attention in our lives. You could get sidetracked and derailed by things that aren't that important. But to you, they're important, but because they occupy the majority of your time and attention. But these things are secondary and sometimes even insignificant. In other words, let them go for the thing that is greater. Remember Mary and Martha? What was the most important thing? Listening to Jesus Christ's instruction, but what was Martha doing? She was busying herself trying to get the house right for Jesus, where Jesus said, I want your attention. So the Martha mentality is something that has pervaded in our time, where people are so busy trying to serve God that they don't have time for him. Am I talking to the right people here? They're too busy serving him that they don't have time for him. He says, so they have the Martha mentality. So now, in this, they're sidetracked and they're derailed by those things that ought to be given secondary attention. And it's is when we cannot see the forest for the trees. You can't see the forest for the trees. All you see is what you see. See, what God wants us to do, and I'll deal with some of this later, he wants us to develop self-correcting policies. Self-correcting policies. This is what he wants us to do, so that we are always at a place of judging ourselves, examining ourselves, and making sure that we are where we're supposed to be. Examine ourselves. What exists in the world is evident. It's made evident within the church, and oftentimes we become the reactionaries even within the church. Now, I'm going to, you see, I have so much more I want to talk about, but I want to close because I'm watching the time, and we have been very cognizant of that, and we're working with it now. But here's what the Lord wants us to do, and this is going to be the starting point next time. You see, it's not just something what God wants us to do. He doesn't just want to give us something to look at. This is very important. You need to write this down. God doesn't just want to give you something to look at. He wants to give you something to look through. He wants to give you something to look through. Because if you merely look at it, then you will judge it based upon its appearance. But God's objective is to give you corrective lenses so you can see through a particular thing. In other words, he wants to give you some gospel lenses so that the gospel lenses provides for us a clear view of reality. You don't see it until you see it through the eyes of Christ. That's what he's saying. You don't really see it until you see it through the eyes of Christ. You thought you saw it, and you gave your opinion based upon what you perceived to be truth, and it was based upon your reality, but you really don't see it until you see it through the eyes of Christ. New lenses, corrective measures. He said, I want to, first of all, take out your heart of stone. He said, no, I don't have any heart. I'm heartless. No, I took out the heart of stone. That was your precondition. That's how you were before you came to know me. I'm taking out your heart of stone, but I'm not going to leave you heartless. I will place in its place a heart of flesh. So now you thought you were tender. You see, because our good isn't good enough. Our tenderness and our love. One writer says that our love is like ivy, that it actually destroys the very brick that it clings so closely to. So our love can be destructive. Our love can do more harm than good. And the biggest love, the greatest love in the natural realm is self-love. I don't want to get into that, but that's the greatest love. They call it the greatest love of all. No, that's the greatest love of all fallen humanity is self-love. It's self-love. You love yourself. Therefore, people take protective measures to guard themselves from any hurt, harm, or danger. You see that? I don't want to be hurt any longer. I have to make sure that I'm secure in who I am, and I want to maintain my identity, and I want people to see me for who I am. No. Sacrificial love, agape love, is a whole different expression of love. He says, where you put it all out there on the line, and you learn the lesson of submission and surrender, and you say, Lord, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. I want you to be glorified in me. I want to see what you see. I want to hear what you hear. And I want to understand the things that you're revealing to me. That's what God is wanting to do. So now, seeing to see, he has given you the ability to see what you would not otherwise see, to hear what you otherwise wouldn't hear, and to understand what you otherwise would not understand. Why? Because blessed are your eyes. I like the fact he says blessed. He says you have the capacity. The blessings precede the act itself. You're blessed to receive. You're blessed to act. You're blessed to respond. He blesses us first. Then he sends us forth with the blessings that he has conveyed upon us. So that's enough for today. You got it. You get something out of this. So let's pray. And let's take what we've heard and let's commit it to the Lord, to the Holy Spirit for safekeeping, so that we'll learn, Lord, how to apply what we've heard to our everyday lives. We don't want to just hear and then tomorrow need to hear the same thing over and over again. But we commit our hearts to you. And Lord, you talk about things that it appears as if those things are not related to our current situation and circumstances, but the things that we're suffering now, the things that we're engaged in this day. Lord, the message that you've given us today is applicable to those things, but we want to have ears to hear it and eyes to see and hearts to understand it, even the application of your truth to everything that we encounter in life. That's what you do, Lord. You're addressing everything. You're all-encompassing. Your word is all-encompassing, that it covers all the bases. And Lord, that's how you speak. There are those here who have needs. There are those within this house that's gone through some things. There are some people listening. There are some people watching. They've gone through some things right now. And they're saying, Lord, they're saying, help, Lord, I need help. But you just address their issues today. But Lord, give them eyes to see how well you've addressed it and the proper application of this truth to the situation that's brought to bear in their lives. So in this, we give you the honor, we give you all the praise, and we give you all the glory for who you are. Yes, you cover all things. You're above all things. You're before all things. Who you are, you're God. Oh, that's a mouthful. You're God. You're Lord over. There's nothing superior to you. Everything is subject to you because you're God. And Lord, we place our whole lives into your hands. We give you the honor. We give you the praise. And we give you all the glory. In the mighty and matchless name of Jesus, we pray. I'm saying amen, but what do we say? Amen. If you agree, amen.